Terry McLaurin has requested a trade from the Washington Commanders, Pearl, but that's not the biggest question I have about the football team in D.C.
Okay.
The biggest question I have about the football team in D.C. is, after this year is over, are we still going to say Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback from this class? Like, is he going to have the best season of all of these sophomore QBs? Because Bo Nix made the playoffs last year and is still teamed up with Sean Payton. They made improvements to their team. Caleb Williams now has a whole new situation in Chicago with, you think, future Hall of Fame coach Ben Johnson, even though he hasn't coached it down.
Put him in as a coordinator for the stumble bum.
We were asking if Drake May is going to throw for 4,000 yards this year, because obviously he's a rising star and we see the talent there. Michael Penix will get to start the season.
Yeah,
you know, J.J. McCarthy is starting, and J.J. McCarthy's on a team that you could say is turnkey. Like, he walks into a 14-win team from a year
ago. He's throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
Man, I mean, so do you think Jaden Daniels is actually going to have the best season of all of those guys that are going into their sophomore season?
Absolutely. Everything you just said. Look at the trend of Jaden Daniels last year after, really, to me, the dividing line was the Hail Mary against the Bears. He just took off like a rocket ship and was completely solid in the playoffs. We talked earlier in the show about how Lamar Jackson's numbers dip in the playoffs. Jaden Daniels' numbers really didn't dip. He ended up with, in three games, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick. Obviously destroyed the Lions in an injured Lions team. Did not play that poorly against Philly. He started off slow, but he was not that terrible in the blowout loss. So I just think with a full offseason, that was with half an offseason. With a full offseason, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be even better. I'm assuming Terry McLaurin is back. Great play caller. I mean, I also think Ben Johnson's a great play caller and Sean Payton's a great play caller. So I think other quarterbacks compete with that. I think there's a chance they're all good, but Jaden is just supreme because the combination of running ability, passing ability, and poise. Fourth quarter, he's just got it.
Yeah, see, I think that was a lot of one-score games. Yes, he's got all those things. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying I'm not a Jaden Daniels fan, but a lot of one-score games that could have gone either way. They won, I think, 7 games by one score or less.
Because Jaden Daniels is a winner.
And he got a little banged up in the middle of the season, which is something we were worried about coming into the year.
Okay.
And also, he's got this bar that he's got to clear now, where maybe in people's minds, if he falls short of the NFC Championship game, which he did and got to as a rookie, do they think, oh, he's taking a step back? If they take Terry McLaurin off this team, they just tied one hand behind his back. I think it's going to be Caleb Williams. I don't think we were all so wrong on our assessment of Caleb Williams about what he's capable of being in the NFL. He went to a terrible situation in Chicago. I said it at the time. They should have gotten rid of Matt Eberflus before he got there. Now, could end up being, you know, timing could be everything. And if he does get this great relationship with Ben Johnson, maybe it would have been a blessing in disguise that you went through the Eberflus thing. But, I mean, we have not even scratched the surface on what the kid could be. And it didn't look like a complete disaster last year. It was bad at times, but the team was just, they were dumb at the end of games. You know, they were clearly poorly coached. There was nothing like to build a foundation on. Look at what Caleb Williams said, and his dad said to a friend of the show, Seth Wickersham, was writing a book about quarterbacks, that, you know, he had no one there to help him even watch film. What am I looking at? What am I trying to glean off of all this footage? He needed a real toe-up, like, coach, like someone who's really going to hold his hand a little bit. That's not a negative. That's a positive.
You know, what about your timeline, though? Is it possible Caleb needs a little time to really get used to Ben Johnson's offense, which is pretty intricate? Jared Goff is an older player who seemed to take to it. So I wonder, I'm not disagreeing that Caleb Williams was in a terrible situation and has all the talent in the world, but I'm looking at this year. I feel like he's going to possibly be third or fourth on that list because I think it's going to take time with Ben Johnson. The guy, I would go Jaden 1, honestly, because wins matter, I think Denver is set up really nicely with Bo Nix. And Bo Nix, like Jaden Daniels, really trended upward towards the end of last season. Then I think it's going to be a Caleb-Drake May battle for 3-4. But I see possible huge upside with Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy. They're playing indoors. They have tons of skill position players around them. McCarthy's got a quarterback whisperer in Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I have Jaden Daniels, one, Tiny Cliff, and then all five guys with real potential next year.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking you, who of these sophomores, which, bro, got to be honest, like, I was a little dubious that that quarterback class from last year was going to be as good as we thought. I was like, oh, you know, people are comparing it to 1983, and it's going to be this, you know, like Marino, Elway, Jim Kelly. And I thought, no way. We do this every year. We hype these quarterbacks, and how rarely does it
Jaden
happen?
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
And, you know, it looks like you were absolutely right, so I'll give you credit on that. Yeah. These guys look really good. They're all in good situations. Maybe they didn't start off that way last year, but you couldn't ask for anything better. If you are J.J. McCarthy, even if you are Michael Penix, you know, is in a good situation with a good offense.
Yeah.
All these guys, like, nobody landed at a zero organization.
Interesting. Well, Michael Penix in Atlanta. Atlanta's a bit lost.
But look at their offensive weapons. You've got Robinson, Bijan Robinson. You've got Drake London. You still have Pitts if he's ever going to be a thing. I mean, I
think I played counter because I did say that they'd be like the 83 class, but. You know, Caleb is in Chicago, and he's got that C on his helmet, which is curse for quarterback. And Drake May's on a New England team with no offensive weapons. So I can't say that they all landed in great spots.
Well, I would say for Caleb Williams, you have a chance to be a one of one. You have a chance to really be the guy in Chicago. And even though they haven't had great offenses and never had a 4,000-yard passer, famously, they are a storied organization. There is a lore still. Yeah. It's a credit to them. It's a lore still with the Bears and what they mean to the NFL.
And you know what helps? You're kind of saying this. There will never be a class with this kind of play callers. It's just a freaky, amazing group. You have Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams. You have Josh McDaniels with Drake May. Cliff Kingsbury with Jaden Daniels. He's going to get a head coaching job next year. Sean Payton with Bo Nix. And Kevin O'Connell with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, that's probably five of the top seven play callers in the NFL, arguably.
Pretty amazing. Okay, so you're on record saying who is going to have the best
Jaden, baby.
Sophomore.
I'm going chalk, Jaden Daniels.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
I'm going with Caleb Williams.
Look at that.
I think there was a lot there. We weren't wrong of what we were watching in college. We weren't wrong. I'm actually more worried about Ben Johnson being a great head coach. He is a great play caller.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. Cliff Kingsbury was not a great head coach, but he still helped Kyler Murray become a Pro Bowler. So I think we're talking about quarterback success. The two could be different.
Yes, go ahead.
Also, the playoffs are going to be hard to make out of Chicago. So I think I have a better angle on this debate. I think I'm going to win this one.
Can I tell you some of our lopsided poll results right now? Okay. All right. Will Lamar Jackson be remembered as an elite passer of this generation? 81% say no.
And the word is an elite passer.
N, not the.
What is that? Wait.
An elite passer.
Read that last part.
Will Lamar Jackson be remembered as an elite passer of this generation?
Okay.
Well, you have a problem with the wording here?
Well, he's not going to be known as, my point, the elite passer of
Never
this generation.
Never said the un.
Yeah.
And
that's really not proper English, but go ahead. Because
picking up with EJ, it's early.
But actually, John Harbaugh did say the elite passer. So that's a fair question. Okay.
81% saying no. So everyone was calling in, crushing me, saying I'm not giving Lamar Jackson enough respect. I'm saying, look at the postseason. This is why he's fighting against this narrative. Will Drake May throw for 4,000 yards this season?
Oh, I'll bet you that's a yes.
74% say no.
Wrong on that one.
And so you have two wrongs, and then or you're against the public on two, and then do you gain more weight in the winter or the summer? Winter is crushing this poll, 80%. Guys, I ask you, just rethink this. Like, think about when you're out. I know everyone's wearing less clothing and bathing suits, and you gotta be like a little more conscious, but ice cream, beer, barbecues.
So good.
As compared to sitting on your couch in the middle of the winter, drinking beer, wearing a thick sweater, and just packing on the pounds.
It's
bunch
so
of
weird.
Buffalo chicken dip and whatnot in September through December.
That's a four-season food, by the way.
Football, on the couch from 12 noon Eastern on Saturday till 12 midnight Eastern on Sunday. You haven't moved more than 3 inches. So how are you going to lose weight in that situation?
Football!
I'm telling you, I think people stick to their workout regimens and routines more in the winter, weirdly. In the summer, you're just distracted. There's so many better things to do. And go to the gym on a treadmill in the middle of the summer feels like a waste. at least in a place where we live, where you have all four seasons.
By the way, you've not... Are you putting on weight this summer? You look exactly the same
as you
do in the winter.
She's bulking up.
Bulking before the Shrek.
You look exactly the same in the winter and summer, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
I feel gross. It's just been so much ice cream, and I'm not even a big ice cream person. It's just been, just a ton. I don't know if anyone else is with me.
You're not a big ice cream person?
No, not
really.
We've
had this conversation on the show.
It's easy for me to say no to ice cream, generally, but not this year.
Communist.
888-710-4
Sorry, don't put that poll up. Do you like ice cream?
Do you like ice cream?
Yeah.
I don't want to put it up. That may be the first poll we get 100%.
Okay. Do we have time? You know, do we have time to do successful teams?
Yeah.
Let's do that. All right. Hit the music. Okay. Working our way through the NFL, four teams at a time. What will a successful season look like for the following? EJ, go ahead.
All right, let's do the Dallas Cowboys. A successful season for the Dallas Cowboys would be
Super Bowl. Now, the successful season for the Cowboys is getting to the NFC Championship game. I know that's not realistic, maybe, but that was what successful would be. That's what we're talking about, breaking this drought of getting past the divisional round.
I think that Cowboys' expectations have lowered significantly. I think the NFC title, now, believe it or not, I think getting to a wild card game would satisfy the fan base in a new way. Because I just think that the dream of Super Bowl, it doesn't feel like that's real anymore in Dallas. I think that they've lowered their expectations to be thrilled just to make the playoffs.
Please put that poll up. Will the Dallas Cowboy fans be satisfied if they are a wild card team? That's what you said.
Yeah. Put it up. I didn't say, and by the way, that poll, what you just heard, I didn't say they lose. Yeah. They had the Eagles. Yes. I don't think the Cowboys think they're going to knock off the Eagles.
It's the word successful that's holding that up.
Put that exact poll up. The Cowboys have definitely taken a step back.
Who's next, EJ?
All right. Let's head to Buffalo, Maggie's favorite team.
Yeah.
This would be fun. A successful season for the Buffalo Bills would be?
I mean, the same as they've had many successful seasons. They just make Patrick Mahomes sweat before he beats him in the AFC title game. No, of course it's a ring. It is the only... This team, actually probably more than anyone, needs that ring. They just need that ring like your girlfriend after you've been dating her for 18 months and it's like... And you know, they
five
need that
years.
Ring.
No, it's a lot longer than 18 months. 18 months was still fun. It was still, you know,
yeah.
This is still a fun relationship. Now it's getting a little heavy. Yeah, a little heavy.
Kind of like the weight we've been packing.
Yeah, kind of. Maybe that's what it feels like. Maybe it's just the weight of the Bills Super Bowl expectations are weighing me down. I don't even play for the team.
That guy that we had on the text thread last night who asked a woman to marry him 43 times.
That story was crazy.
And she finally said yes. That's the Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
We will get to that story. There's a lot of blame to be divvied out on a guy asking a woman to marry him 43 times until she finally said yes. Ring. Gotta be the ring. So much is riding on this. I don't know if I might disagree with you. I don't know if this is their best season. The 13 seconds game was their best season. I think they would have beaten the Bengals, and I think they would have beaten the Rams.
Sorry, so you're saying coming in, this is not their best roster, their best shot? They might have had it a little earlier in the Allen's
era? The big fear. That's the big fear.
I kind of agree with you. They don't really feel stacked personnel-wise around Allen like the other teams. Like, the team around Lamar feels way better. I mean, this is probably obvious to you.
Yeah.
But yes. The Bills actually they have been good. There have been a lot of good. James Cook's legit.
I know. And are they going to pay him? Are they not going to pay him? He's just being cool and showing up and practicing without a contract. Anyway, yes, ring or nothing.
Go
ring
Bills.
Or Maggie said.
Go Bills.
I don't expect this team to have championship expectations, but I want to hear what you guys have to say about the Indianapolis Colts. A successful season for the Colts would be.
All right, I'm going to go a little against the grain here to steal from Perloff. I think it'd be better for them if they got really bad. And let's get back into the quarterback thing, because I don't think Anthony Richardson, I don't know if they have the patience or if he has like the understanding, quite frankly, of what it actually takes to be quarterback in this league. And that's saying something, because he took him fourth overall and took himself out of a game at one point in the middle of a drive. I've never heard anything like that when a guy's not hurt. And Daniel Jones, I have no faith in whatsoever. So I think maybe you'd be better off just getting back into the draft.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I think that the thing is, Shane Steichen is believe it or not, because he's on the hot seat, I think he's too good of a coach. And I think if Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones plays, they can run. I'm one of those guys is going to run their way to an 8-9 or a 9-8 record.
Yeah. And
I'm
basing that on backiotomy. They're both going to get hurt.
Well, maybe, but Richardson's, you know, he'll give you a half a season and he'll win games. You don't have to have a high-flying quarterback. Shane Steichen was the Eagles coordinator, and early on, before Jalen Hurts developed his passing game, he would use his legs to win games all the time and avoid sacks. The thing about the Colts is, look at the rest of that roster. It's like way better than we think. Jonathan Taylor, running back, if he stayed healthy, then the receivers are Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, A.D. Mitchell. That's a good receiving core. And they just drafted Tyler Warren, a tight end. That's a lot of weapons. I just think that they might be too good to take.
So successful season for me is being top five in the draft next year. Successful season for you for the
It'd
Colts
be playoffs.
As well. Playoffs, okay.
Wow, it's probably the biggest separation.
You want.
Yeah.
Biggest separation I think you guys have had on one of these. Okay, last one here. A successful season for the Detroit Lions would be?
Super Bowl appearance. I hate saying that because they haven't won since 57. But I think if they got through to the Super Bowl, I mean, baby steps here. I can't say you need a ring like we just did with Buffalo. I think Detroit needs to at least get to the Super Bowl because they've never done it, right? I think your team, Buffalo Bills, have been there four times. I think Detroit getting to the Super Bowl would be pretty special.
I think they got to win it. Yeah, you know, I do. I think they got to win it. Got to get there and have to win it. Also, every team, when you get to the Super Bowl, I mean... every team is expected to win. You might be right.
I think the Bengals Joe Burrow making the Super Bowl was a big deal.
Yeah.
They had been a couple times and lost.
Yeah, I feel like that probably feels a lot different than what we think on the outside.
Right, but if you're a Detroit Lions fan, I mean, you can't be like, it's Super Bowl or bust. You haven't won anything ever. You're not, unless it's someone who's really old, they have no idea what a title feels like.
But think about it. The Bengals felt like they came out of nowhere. The Lions have been here now. We talked about how the weight of expectations on the Bills is getting kind of heavy. The Lions has to be even heavier. At least the Bills are losing games they're air quotes supposed to lose, right? Like, you lose to the Chiefs in Arrowhead. You know, I hate it, but it happens. The Lions should have never lost at home to the Commanders last year. Never. They should have never lost up three scores against San Francisco. You cannot lose those games, and they did. So I think it's even more painful. Got to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, listen, did expectations lower after last night, though? They did lose 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game.
And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap.
It did look pretty dreadful.
Also, too, what's our deal with Hendon Hooker? Is he ever? Is he not going to be a thing? He came in second.
Hey, by the way, so the internet lied to me about that. Yesterday, I told you guys that Hendon Hooker was going to start the game and end up being Kyle Allen. I was so embarrassed.
Yeah, I was very confused as well by that. I saw Kyle Allen taking the field. I mean, they should have started Hendon Hooker because the way that Kyle Allen started, P.U., brother. Oh, my God.
The AI overview? What happened?
No, it was. I don't want to call out the website because I like them. CBSSports.com.
I mean, at the end of the day, it really does not matter much at all, Amy. We can live with that mistake.
I know, but my credibility is on the line, people. Okay, coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to talk to Randy Orton. The Viper himself is going to join the show. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Man, for a summer Thursday, yesterday was kind of wild. Great trade deadline. Amazing Hall of Fame game. Feels like all things are coming up, Maggie and Perloff.
Yeah. I mean, your definition of amazing, you just haven't seen football in a while.
No, because they unveiled the new virtual first down marker thing. That was incredible. And I think got 100% approval rating. It's like the tennis animation. And it made me wonder, like, how have we not done this before? Although there is some arbitrariness of where they put the football down because you have to coordinate the knee and the football. But I feel like this is an incredible positive step for football.
Yeah, we're getting closer. It felt like last night was a meaningful step forward with the virtual measurement for a first down. Looks a lot like Hawkeye. You have the dramatic moment of whether or not it's a first down, and it happens in seconds.
Well, the thing is, a coach could challenge and say the spot was wrong still, say his knee was down. So we're still going to have some messy first downs, especially in the playoffs. But it's really cool. And who doesn't like a little cartoon in the middle of your game?
Yeah, that's what we've all been clamoring for as sports fans.
I've always said that.
I do want to get to something because, EJ sent this to us yesterday in our group thread, which is named Jake's All-Stars.
Because he roasted me.
A a woman finally said yes to her boyfriend because after he proposed 43 times in 7 years. The first time he proposed, I think, was after like the first 6 months. And he's been proposing nonstop, basically, for almost a decade. This
is like a not a red flag.
It's like a Cal Ripken like run of, but just less successful, or just the opposite.
The complete opposite.
He's like the Iron Man of proposals.
Idiocy.
But just, I blame her.
I blame all of them.
Nah, this is, she's got a, first of all, the fact that you finally said yes, you've done nothing. Like, you've taught nothing.
Damn. Here. Just go fine, damn.
Wait, she should say no, you're saying.
She let him on for 7 years. I mean, if a guy proposes to you after 6 months and you don't want to say yes, and then he just keeps asking, you got to be like, listen, I think I'm going to need a little bit more time than next Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big proponent of the slow play. I waited my wife out until she ran out of other options, but I still went one for one on proposals. It's a good percentage. Yeah, it didn't take 34 questions.
God, I can't imagine hearing no on a proposal once.
Oh my God.
That must be heartbreaking.
Yeah, so I guess maybe this just seems like, EJ, you said this seems sad to you. I think that the woman. To be honest, I always am like, you know, generally taking the side of a woman, but not in this case. I'm totally against her. You gotta set some boundaries here.
Mark this down. Male sympathy from Maggie.
Wait, this guy is a loser.
Loser.
She's marrying him, though, at the end of the day. No. She's marrying him.
She's marrying a loser. I know. You're right in that sense, but he's majorly to blame here.
He is?
Of course. What an idiot.
She's got to be like, listen, it's not happening right now. I want to continue dating you. I'm not marrying you yet. I'll give you the, like, to just have him keep proposing. He looks like a loser because she's making him look like a loser.
No. He has, after the 23rd time, like, it's on him now. She's not making him look like a loser. This guy, you could tell, is born a loser. Like, I would, anybody doesn't move on after the first no, maybe there's the second no, then it's over.
Yeah. But what if he asked the second no? He did this 43 times in 7 years. Like, the second no must have come 5 minutes after the first no.
You're doing the math there. That's interesting.
There's 52 weeks in a year. I mean, this is a lot of proposals.
It's like one every other month for 7 years on average.
Keeps leading him on this way. I don't like this from her.
Want to be clear. They were continuously dating this whole time, right?
Yeah, they said to her boyfriend. She said yes to her boyfriend, not, you know, Bill in sales.
And were they like 42, get down on a knee, put your ring out? Like, you put the ring out and she says no? Or is it just like, hey, just checking, still no marriage? Correct. Like, does that count?
I just learned something about this that makes me sick.
REP, had an epiphany.
Oh, no.
More details?
So apparently, these two losers, when she finally said yes, they got engaged in the same spot me and Andrea got engaged.
No way.
No.
In the same park.
Oh, no.
What?
Now, you were in Paris, though.
No, I was first in London, then we went to Paris. The photo shoot is in Paris. When we got engaged was in Greenwich, London.
Oh, Greenwich, Connecticut?
Where the Eastern and Western hemispheres meet, which was the whole point of me, you know, getting engaged at the Prime Meridian.
Oh, no, EJ. Oh. Don't worry, you're unique, just like everyone else.
Oh, these are British people?
Yes, they're both from, the UK. That's,
Well, don't show Andrea this story.
Well, to be honest, maybe it shows how strong this location is.
Oh,
I mean, 42 times it took, and then it only took when they got to this spot that it was a yes.
Most romantic places on earth, Paris, France, and the Prime Meridian.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
EJ,
this
that
is the center
tough.
Of the world. You are the center of my world. Give me a break.
Did you say that?
Basically.
By the 43rd time, you can't be romantic still.
Yeah,
here's
also,
this ring, lady.
This guy
sucks, Maggie. You're wrong.
It's
a bad poll question result for you, too.
No, screw this guy. Because think about it. Like, that was my first attempt, and that was my first idea. This guy went to this idea 43.
No, she can't. She's got to tell him after the second one, like, hey, don't keep it. I'm not ready.
What if she did, and he just kept asking?
Red flag.
Then she would have never said yes eventually.
I wouldn't ask.
It would have been an ick.
I wouldn't ask Jennifer Aniston to marry me 43 times. No. Like, once we get to 35, then 35 knows I'm out.
She needs this type of, like, validation constantly or something. Or turning him down helps her ego or something. But the fact that she finally said yes, this is that's the affront.
You know, I'm looking at pictures. I'm diving deeper. Now I kind of get it. Yeah. he outkicked his coverage pretty significantly. So I'm back on Team Dude.
Because she's pretty?
She's not hard on the eyes.
Because he didn't have better options?
I think there's no pretty girls at the Prime Meridian.
Well, I'm just not sure. I think he outkicked his coverage a little bit.
He couldn't outkick it with someone else?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Apparently not, because he tried this one 43 times.
But he's not like...
He's not terrible.
Right.
Though.
They look like a couple. They kind of look alike.
Yeah, there is that too.
The couples that look alike?
Yeah.
Yeah. None of us are in one of those.
No.
Okay.
Thank God.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get the thought of Randy Orton, shall we? He just walked in on a really fun conversation. Randy Orton, of course, the Viper. We're so excited. The 14-time champion. One of the absolute greatest. He's going to be taking on Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre in a tag team match at SummerSlam with Jelly Roll, which is just so cool. Randy, thanks so much for joining us. Maggie and Perloff here in New York. How are you?
Maggie, Perloff, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Okay, actually, you're the perfect person to ask here because you're not going to sugarcoat anything. Before we get into what's going on with SummerSlam, we're talking about a story from People Magazine where a woman finally said yes to her boyfriend after he proposed 43 times in 7 years. Who's to blame here, the man or the woman, Randy Orton?
God, I don't know. If they're getting married finally after 7 years, and what did you say, 43 proposals?
Yes.
Holy smokes. I don't think anyone's to blame. I'm happy for him. I'm happily married, and I hope that they have a wonderful wedding and have a killer honeymoon and you get to live a long life together, man. That's great. But 43 times. Golly, that's a lot. I guess the 44th time was the one, huh? Like, what the hell?
Randy, I assume you got a yes on the first time, I imagine?
I got a yes on the first time. Yes, sir.
Phew.
Yeah. I did it the right way. I took my wife to my fiance at the time to Bora Bora. I guess she wasn't my fiance even. I proposed to her in Bora Bora, but we went there. I had like 11 days. Oh my God, it was like the most beautiful place on earth outside of Tahiti. And God, how did we do it? I was we were on one of those little like huts on the ocean, and I had fireworks coming out of the background off of a boat, like running for 5 minutes. I had a cameraman in the wings, like getting her reaction. The whole dinner was set. We were supposed to eat at a restaurant. I said, oh, the restaurant's closed, honey. We got to eat back at the hut. That gave them time to set everything up. And I did it big. I had the wedding ring. I had it down my pants. She didn't know if I got on a knee. The fireworks went off. Everything was timed perfectly. And hell yes, she said yes.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking to 14-time WWE World Champion Randy Orton. Randy, you, the Viper, the legend killer, you are a romantic?
Yeah, you know what? I think in my older age, I'm definitely a romantic. I think I think I had to mature a little bit to get to that point. But yeah, you got to do it big. You got to show, you know, I have to show my wife in some way or another, some shape or form, every day how much I love her. And she doesn't. That person, man, there's nothing better than having your best friend there by your side. That's great.
Wow. I mean, I was going to say something silly like, is she always worried you're going to give her the RKO? But like, I can't even do that because it's such a nice story. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. You know, wondering if we can get to tap into your sentimental side on something else also. And it was a sad when we learned that Hulk Hogan passed away last week. You guys, you've known him since you were a kid, obviously, because your father wrestled against him. You guys had an epic SummerSlam battle back in 2006. So what do you remember most about that match?
Man, I'll tell you what. When I found out that I was going to be able to wrestle Hulk Hogan, I mean, I was only 25, maybe 26 years old at the time. I mean, it was a dream come true. And of course, we had a little bit of a relationship because of my father. And him and my father, they made history, man. They were in the WrestleMania main event, the very first WrestleMania. They worked with each other. The very first Saturday night's main event, they were the main event of that show. So he had a lot of history with my dad. So it was like we kind of picked up where we left off. You know, we already knew each other. and he was really easy to work with. And he just wanted to go out there and have the best match he could with me and give me the rub, so to speak. And he did. He did. And that's one of my most memorable matches I've ever had.
Can I say I grew up watching your dad, and as a young Andrew Perloff would scream at the TV, he doesn't need the cast anymore. I just want to put that out there. But
it took him a long time to heal up. He's still having problems with that forearm, man.
All right. You know, there's been a lot of interesting documentaries on pro wrestling lately. I've seen a lot on the original WrestleMania, which reminded me of your dad so much too. And now there's a show coming out on Netflix, WWE Unreal. How do you feel about having cameras behind the scenes?
The old school in me doesn't love it, but I've learned over the last few years, especially, you know, you got to change with the times. I think there's a large amount of fans out there that are very curious and they want to know behind the scenes and you know, how we do what we do and make it look so effortless, you know, 2, 3, 4 nights a week. Live television. But, you know, there's a part of me that also misses the just the magic. When I was a kid, the number one thing that people would ask my father and, you know, kids at school would ask me is it real? And of course, everyone knows now it's entertainment. And, you know, we're not trying to say that it's not. But my job is to go out there in that ring and get you to kind of suspend your belief while you're in that arena and make you believe that what you're seeing, that there's real emotion behind it. And I think that there is real emotion behind it in most cases. You know, we're like actors in that sense where you find that place and you get to that place before you go through that curtain. And I know at least I do, but yeah, it's hard. And honestly, I don't love the idea, but I'm also, it's intriguing. And I think there's a large group of fans that are going to love seeing, you know, what it takes to put on a WWE show.
We're talking with the 14-time WWE World Champion Randy Orton is joining us. SummerSlam happening this weekend for the first time ever, Pearl. 2-day event. EJ and myself are going to be out there on Saturday. We're looking forward to it. Randy Orton is going to have an epic tag team match. It's him and Jelly Roll, the musician, the Grammy-nominated musician, along fighting Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. We'll get into that in just a moment. But Randy, you know, another guy you've had legendary and epic matches against is obviously John Cena, who's on his retirement tour right now. Now, we work in sports, okay? So we know you always take the retirement with a grain of salt. Like, we see all these guys come back, and in WWE, everyone comes back. So do you think this is a real retirement from Cena or just retiring for now?
So I know John very well, and I can tell you without a doubt that when John Cena says that this is his retirement tour, he means it. And whenever that last match, whatever that is, that will be his last match. And he'll come around and say hi, but I don't think that you'll ever see him perform again in the ring as a WWE wrestler. I think that's it for John, because you're right. You know, how many times have certain guys retired and come back and retired and come back? And I get it, because this is part of who we are. This is our identity. You know, it's very hard to hang up the boots and keep them hung. But John's different, and he knows that he knows that nobody stays retired in this profession. And so he's going to be that one guy that actually does.
Randy, what about yourself? I mean, you've been through so many injuries. You're still wrestling. It's amazing. It looks great. You know, still obviously sound great on the mic, but have you thought about when the end comes for you?
Honestly, a few years ago, I had a double spinal fusion in my lower lumbar, and that's a specific injury and repair surgery that no other wrestlers on the roster have. And Shawn Michaels had a fusion, you know, 20 years ago. He wrestled like months later, but then he took like 3, 4, 5 years off to back. So I'm the only guy to have that issue and be back in the ring. And you know, for a second there, I thought I was done. But I got lucky at Dr. Adam Cantor out in Newport Beach, California. Shout out to that doctor because, man, he put me back together, didn't cut through any muscle in my core, and he was able to get me back in that ring. So I've been to that point where I thought that it was over and not on my terms. So I definitely want to be able to do it like John and go out on my terms. But I'm 45. I got about 4.5 more years on my contract. And, man, if my body will hold up, I'll sign another 5-year contract and that one's up. But if I can, right now, the goal would be able to wrestle until just before my 50th birthday. But, man, I'm going to be one of those guys. I think I've done 23 WrestleManias. Undertaker's done 28. I'd like to beat that record. So I'm going to be around as long as that my body will permit me to be around.
Well,
that's the honest to God's truth. Yeah, I'm not going to end up going to Hollywood. That's not. Listen, I'd love to be the new Batman. Trust me, you know. But I think realistically, like, I'm telling you, man, wrestling is that's who I am. Yeah. I'm a WWE superstar. I'm a wrestler, and I'm going to do that as long as my body permits.
Well, you've done a great job, obviously, and we've appreciated being on, being able to watch you. Do what you do so well. I would think you more Bane than Superman. But final for you, let's talk about SummerSlam because it's going to be you and Jelly Roll in a tag team match against Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. What's been your advice to Jelly Roll, who, you know, maybe just by looks, you wouldn't say maybe he's the most athletic guy, but he has gotten in the ring and he's done well for himself.
He has. The dedication that this guy has to where he's gotten his body and his mind as far as preparing for SummerSlam. I mean, and this has been a couple of years coming. He's lost 200 pounds in a short while. Like, he's been busting his ass. He's still planning on losing more weight. And the lighter he gets, the better he feels. He says his energy is like 10 times what it was before when he was carrying around all that weight. I think that his passion for what we do, because he's a fan at heart, it's reinvigorated my love for what I do for a living. And I really, I feel a chemistry with him. He's a genuinely just a good man. He gives time to anybody that he approaches or approaches him. You know, he doesn't, I'm around him enough now these past few weeks, months, whatever, where I can really, it's not an act. Some of these guys, you know, they know when to put it on, they turn it off, and they treat people like shit when no one's looking. Maybe this guy, he treats everybody the same, man, and it's with respect and love. And as far as advice to him, we're in the ring, we're training together, we're preparing for tomorrow, for this weekend, SummerSlam, and there's all sorts of things that I picked up along the way that I'm able to kind of, you know, like, we're fast-tracking him, you know, 2 decades worth of experience in a month's time. So it's a tall order, but he's really taken to it. And no, when you think Jelly Roll, you might not think WWE wrestler, but I'm telling you, man, we've done a good job. And I think tomorrow, a lot of people, I don't know if people quite understand what they're going to expect in a typical scenario. We might keep a guy like that on the apron. We might not let him get in the ring too much and they do one little thing. This guy's in a tag team match. You know, we're semi-main event in SummerSlam night one. This is a huge spot for him to be in. He can't just hang out on the apron and watch me do my thing. He's going to be in there with me. He's going to be wrestling. He's going to be doing a lot of stuff, and it's going to be fun to watch for everybody, me included. And these fans, the socks are going to be blown off. It's going to be a wild night.
Randy, we're up against the break. Real quick, has he taught you to sing? I know you've taught him to wrestle.
Yeah. So he actually mentioned yesterday that for all the help that I've given him and advice, that he wanted to, I think the way he put it was, write a song with me. And I don't really know if he knows what he's getting into. I'm like tone deaf. I don't know if I could write a song. I don't know what. I think, you know what, I'll put this out there. Maybe he could do my entrance music. Maybe they could do my entrance theme, Voices, and, you know, Rev Theory, who sings the song, did an amazing job. But if Jelly Roll wanted to cover that song, man, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't know if you're going to hear any vocals from me, though, on it.
Oh, man, Randy, that's what AI is for, post-production and all of that. You've been in showbiz a long time. Randy Orton, he's going to be in a tag team match, SummerSlam, the first time ever. It's a 2-night event. It's his tag team partner, Jelly Roll, the Grammy-nominated singer, is going to go up against Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. Randy, thank you so much for the time, and good luck.
Thank you, Maggie. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. Randy Orton, the Viper, Pearl, RKOing people left and right. I'll RKO your grandmother.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was he got a little deep on us.
I love it. You know, all these, you know, I don't say it like this way, all these years, but the guy's, his life has been wrestling, and he probably could have gone Hollywood. I mean, he's a really good looking dude and clearly talented. But this is it. This is his life. All right. We got to take a quick break. Appreciate Randy Orton there. And we have more football for you on the other side. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. If you missed our interview with Randy Orton, hello, the 14-time WWE World Champion, he was fantastic. He's got SummerSlam. He's going to be in a tag team match with Jelly Roll. Pearl, you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I saw Jelly Roll play at the Super Bowl. Incredible range. Can I say one thing about Randy Orton? Kind of a soft proposal story. kind of lame.
Soft? What do you mean?
I mean, like, he's Randy Orton. He doesn't need to have fireworks coming off the back of a boat.
You should go to the Prime Meridian. That's where all the mad guys are.
Yeah, we found out that a man, we asked Randy Orton, you know, People Magazine's reporting that a man asked a woman to marry him 43 times over 7 years, and she finally just said yes. And we were saying, who's to blame here? Is the man for not getting the hint? Is the woman for stringing him along? Blah, blah, blah. We find out that they did get engaged finally after 43 asks at the Prime Meridian. Exactly where EJ asked his now fiance Andrea to marry him. So, you know, maybe a few other people have had that idea.
Crap is crap.
We asked Randy Orton who's to blame when he came on the show. He launches into his own proposal story. Unbelievable.
Bananas.
Bora Bora.
Yeah.
He's got the ring. Fireworks going off. He had to lie to say the restaurant was closed.
He's got the hut on near the water as well.
In a hut.
I hate being poor.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're not poor, you got to show off. If I was a lady getting proposed to and you're a professional athlete, I better get all of the makings.
Yeah, you do not have to wait 43 times if you get that much money.
Yeah, I need a place rented out. I need lights. I need balloons. I need fireworks.
So you need a little bit more than like Ocean City, Maryland or something like that.
Yeah. Give me the equator, not the Prime Meridian.
High maintenance. So high maintenance over there. Good.
Oh, I brought you to the equator. Why are we here?
If you're a pro athlete, you don't want to do it after winning a big game. Is that in play for anyone here?
Oh, I think Boise State.
You can't do that either.
No, but you're right. The bar is high, but I think you take someone to Bora Bora. I don't think after that you need the whole big thing. He said he had a camera crew.
Good for
camera
him.
Camera crew in Bora Bora. Just getting to Bora Bora, I think, is great.
The camera thing. Even you, EJ, you had a camera person, didn't you?
No, I didn't have a camera person.
I had a photographer.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. My husband had someone hiding in the bushes.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was great. I'm glad he did. Very romantic, but also it's great because we have those photos now.
How'd you propose, Bogey? Did you do it at a Dave Matthews Band concert or something?
After one, actually.
For real?
Technically, yes, but not because that was not the the plan.
You're so predictable.
What? So it really was after a Dave Matthews Band.
Well, it was the day after a show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. It wasn't from Crash into Me right into Will You
Marry Me. No. It was. It just was coincidence.
Well, when you see 300 shows a year.
Not yet.
Every day is one day after the Dave show.
Yeah.
It's a day that ends in Y.
Was that effort? Was that number 37 that she finally said yes, folks?
No. One for one. That's all I got. It took me 35 times to make her my girlfriend, but one on the wife.
Perseverance either way.
First date took a while.
Perloff, what do you say? Why these people are such gigantic losers? Or EJ, who called them losers?
All of us, except you.
But Perloff was the first one.
Well, I called him a loser.
He said he's a loser. Then I said they're both losers, because when I learned that they took my idea, I was pissed.
But you were one for one, EJ. So
I know,
ahead of
I got
game.
That. And to be fair, mine was so creative. Like, he had to think of 43 other ones before he even thought of this one. I was one for one.
Batting 1,000, EJ.
Toughest part about this couple is that they look alike.
Oh, God.
Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Randy Orton, the Viper, who joined us. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you Monday.